You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's racing on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 11:50am with Gordon Brown, Ross Briley and Paddy Aspel in the studio. Good day to look forward to as well. It's day one of the international meeting at Cheltenham. We also have day one of two good days on Talon Moor at Doncaster. There's racing over the obstacles at Bangor on Dee in the afternoon as well. The usual evening of all-weather action on a Friday with all-weather action on the Tapeter at Newcastle and over in Ireland on the Polytrack at Dundalk. That will be delightful news for the man sat to my right-hand side. My name is Mark Walton, joined by Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
Mark, yes, in pretty good form. Yes, thank you.
Yeah, good man. I haven't done a podcast with you for a while.
It's been a while, yeah. Yeah, it's probably been the thick end of 3 or 4 weeks. It's just the way the rotor falls, Mark.
Yes.
I've still done my allocation.
Yeah.
But sometimes they're a little bit more stretched, in, you know, in between.
No question of that. Good racing going on at the moment. You know, we've had the Hennessy meeting, we've had the Open meeting at Cheltenham, we've got this coming up this weekend, the international meeting. It's really in the meat of the season now, isn't it?
I've really enjoyed this jump season so far, like many other National Hunt fans. It's just been spectacular. I mean, we've seen quality, we've seen the older brigade win, you know, that Undersco Sir de Grugy race the other day at Sandown was a vintage Tingle Creek, spine-tingling stuff. you know, we saw a really good Hennessy with Native River winning and giving Colin Tizard yet another big Saturday winner following Q Card the week before. It's just gearing up every week in, week out. Big Saturday races with lots of pointers towards the Cheltenham Festival and, you know, bring it on. It's just great fun at the moment.
It is.
Feel like your National racing.
Yeah, exactly. It's been superb. One of the horses you mentioned there, Native River. Interestingly, he's going to go for the Welsh National by the looks of things over the Christmas period. He'll be the first horse, if he wins, to defy top weight for 25 years. That'll be some ask, even for a horse as good as him, won't it?
Yeah, it will be. It's a bit of a strange one in many respects, because the last thing you want to be doing with a horse who potentially could be Gold Cup class is asking him to lump a big weight in an arduous race like that on what is likely to be soft or heavy ground over the Christmas period. Obviously, he's got quite a while to recover, but I like my Gold Cup horses to be sort of brought along in the right fashion, not almost think, oh, well, there's another race coming up here, we'll consider that, oh, we'll run him here. The game plan with him seems to have gone out the window since the Hennessy. I'm not really sure they knew what kind of horse they got. Their hand, to many respects, has been forced now to look towards the Gold Cup route because of his rating. Obviously, the King George is out for him there because he come too soon and Q Card's their representative there. And there's not that many, perhaps, races they could run him in. Maybe the one on Trials Day, you know, the 3-mile-1 race there.
Yeah.
That would be the other logical stepping stone towards the Gold Cup. But, you know, Colin Tizard, he's a brave man and he just seems to be, you know, taking on all comers at the moment.
Yeah, he's having a superb time of things. Could it be that, like you say, he's got Q Card for the King George, he's got Thistlecrack, who could either run in the King George or run in the novice race on the same card at Kempton. He needs to put Native River somewhere, and this has been a race that horse have synchronised and the like have won before going on to win the Gold Cup.
Well, that's probably what he's thinking. You've hit the nail on the head there. He probably doesn't necessarily see, therefore, Native River being a Gold Cup horse. He's almost telling us now that he's going to be a Grand National stroke Welsh National animal, given that he's got such classy representatives in that department, courtesy of Q Card and now Thistlecrack. He wouldn't be running all three in the Gold Cup, would he?
No.
You know, he'd be turning into Michael Dickinson then, wouldn't he? but yeah, he deserves his chance in it, but whether you think he'll be able to accomplish the feat, he's very much open to question. Because it does now compress the weights, and some horses who needed a favour or two would probably get one now, because they're going to be languishing in and around the 10-stone mark.
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough. Just a quick glance at Saturday's stuff as well before I get stuck into Friday in more detail. International hurdle, my tent are yours, 6-4 favourite, 4-1 the new one. Yanworth is 4-1 as well, 5-1 Mr. Miyagi. Ivan Grozny is 6-1, 8-1 old guard, 16-1 bar those. What do you make of all this money for my tent are yours? Seems to be very popular in the market.
Well, I think it's probably borne out of the fact that Yanworth, who was mentioned in dispatches in midweek, has been a possibility now for the two mile route rather than the world hurdle, as given that what happened to you know what I mean, Harry.
Mm-hmm.
It's very early days yet. Of course, a lot can happen between now and March, but with Harry Fry's charge, you know, rubber stamping himself as a really quality three-miler. J.P. McManus doesn't want to have too many in one category. He's going to try and split them all apart. And you'd imagine now Yanworth would be looking towards maybe the Christmas hurdle. And if he doesn't run here, then my tent are yours, who's got really good solid Cheltenham form on good ground, looks the obvious one for the race, given its overall weak-looking kind of feel to it. You know, the new one, they were going to go chasing with him the other day, and he obviously didn't. You know, I think the meeting was abandoned, or so that was a bit of a setback. Whether Mr. Miyagi's good enough, I wouldn't know. Old Guard just seems to be not quite the horse he was, dare I say, last year, although he's been running over fences. And you'd probably look towards Ivan Grozny if there is going to be a representative from the Irish shoe to upset the apple cart of the English brigade. And he'll probably go off in front and make the strong pace. But I can see why they're backing my tent to yours. He looks the only logical grade one horse that you can hang your hat on and say he's definitely going to run for a start off.
Yeah. Yeah, because, like you say, Yanworth, do you think he'd run on both?
If Yanworth run in that, I think he'd win it.
Yeah, okay.
I think he's a better horse now than my tent to yours is, and even though he's been campaigned over 2.5 and they were thinking 3. Don't forget, he's got plenty of boots over 2. He's won plenty of 2-mile races, and it is the old course, the new course as well, which is a 2-mile one event, but there's a long run from the second last to the last and then to the line. So the emphasis is very much more on stamina on the new course than it is on the inside old course. So a horse like Yanworth, who's got that 2.5-mile stamina in him, would be absolutely tailor-made for that race.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a very good point, yeah. So that's the international hurdle. Caspian Caviar Gold Cup as well. Bouvriel 11-2 favourite for that. Alan Momo is 13-2. Very doubtful his participation, if you believe reports that the ground will be too quick for him. Village Vic 7-1. 8-1 ASO. Cal Morlock is 8-1 as well. Bywise 9s. 10-1 Frodon. 10-1 for Thomas Brown. 12-1 or bigger for the others. One interesting horse missing from that lineup that was in the betting yesterday is Takanda Sue.
Yeah.
I'm guessing they've changed their mind with that one.
Yeah, probably due to the fact that there hasn't been that much rain, even though we've had a little bit overnight, but not necessarily at Cheltenham enough to change the ground, which is currently good. It's basically a repeat of what we saw 28 days ago, where he won, but he's now obviously out of the equation. But Village Vic was second by-wise. Bouvril, who obviously caught the eye, and Aso as well, who was fourth. As is often the case in this race, it is a duplicate race, but on a different track. It's obviously going to suit certain horses more than the inner track.
Yeah.
Village Vic, as we know, has got great form at Cheltenham in a nutshell, but his best form is actually on the new track, which is the course it allows him to actually get into a better rhythm. And his jumping, which is always exemplary around Cheltenham, he's very much worth its weight in gold around that new track. So even though he's got top weight again, I thought he ran really well on ground that was too soft for him in the old Paddy Power. The ground's perfectly right for him this time, and you know what you're going to get with him. He's going to go off in front, he's going to get an uncontested lead. If he gets into the kind of rhythm that he got last time, I think on this occasion he could prove very difficult to pass on good ground.
7-1 in the market at the moment for Village Vic. We'll leave that there. Anything else on your mind, Andy, before we get stuck into Friday's action?
No, not really, no. No, there's some good racing at Cheltenham Saturday. The Albert Bartlett Novices Hurdle.
Yeah.
It looks quite a good one as well. You know, a lot of early season novices which have staked their claim for this kind of level are in it. So, yeah, we should get some more clues of that as well. So, all in all, another good Saturday and another good learning curve as well.
Yeah. And you'll hear it all on Racing Radio, of course. We'll be live with all of that on Saturday afternoon. Right, let's concentrate on Friday then. We're going to get Andy's thoughts in four races on day one of the international meeting, and we'll get those thoughts on the back of this.
With William Hill's evening money back offer, you never have to worry about losing to the favourite again. Because here at William Hill, we're offering money back as a free bet if your horse finishes second to the SP favourite at evening all-weather meetings. The offer applies to races with six or more runners, and terms and conditions apply. Check out William Hill's money back offers at williamhill.com or on the William Hill app.
Yeah, do check that out. That's on evening all-weather meetings. We obviously have High Five running in accordance with that as well. And the High Five meeting on Friday is all of the National Hunt meetings, in fact. All National Hunt meetings on a Friday and Saturday are High Five meetings. So we're going to look at four races that will qualify for at Cheltenham, starting in the 12:55. And this is a 2.5 mile mares handicap chase. It's actually on its way to 2 miles and 5 furlongs. 10 of them in the lineup here, Andy. Some informed mares in there as well, the likes of Dawny River and Queen Spud have plenty of ones next to their name. What do you make of the race?
Yeah, well, with a great respect to a lot of these horses, this is a golden opportunity for them to shine. It's a grade one track. A lot of these would probably been plying their trade at more smaller venues and working their way up. So the likes of Queen Spud, who goes particularly well, for instance, around Fakenham.
Yeah.
That's the kind of level we're dealing with here. So, yeah, like I say, it's a big stage for these, and not many of these would have faced the big sort of Cheltenham fences what they're going to here. So you factor that in as well, and it makes it quite difficult read. I must admit, when I looked at it first glance, it nothing really stood out for me here, so it's a bit of a pin sticker job.
All right. You can give us a couple to keep an eye on, though, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think, yes, I did. From the Dan Skelton stable, it's obviously a yard that targets certain horses at certain events, and I imagine Dan's had this race at the back of his mind for quite a while. She's already run around Cheltenham in a listed race, albeit she got beat quite a long way by Katie Two towards the back end of last season. But so far over fences, she's done nothing wrong. One run, one win at Fontwell when she jumped really well. And, she looks a handy enough type for a race of this nature. It isn't the strongest event in the world. And, you know, her hurdle rating off a mark of 130, she's still quite well treated here off 1-2-4. So she'd definitely be one for the shortlist for me.
Okay, keep an eye on that. Yes, I did then. In what's a pretty open mares handicap chase at this point. The 130 at Cheltenham is where we'll look next. This is the Unicoin Group handicap chase, a grade three event over 3.25 miles. We have betting out on site already as well. Southfield Theatre is 5-1 at the top of the market. 6-1 Sausalito Sunrise. 6-1 Out Sam. A Good Skin is 13-2. Kogri is 15-2. 8-1 Theatre Guide and 11-1 or bigger prices for the others. Real good races, Andy. Some nice horses in there.
Yeah, absolutely, Mark. Yeah, it's a race that we know quite a bit about the main competitors. A lot of them have got previous good Cheltenham form. And quite a few of these ran at the previous meeting as well. But you'd have to say, on the evidence of what we saw at Exeter the other day, Wincanton, Southfield Theatre was a particularly unlucky loser in the Badger Ales chase when he was very well backed off the back of a layoff. Everyone seemed to know that Paul Nichols' horse was going to win that day. And he looks as though he's going to justify the money in his direction when he sauntered down to the last with about a 2-length lead, only for him to kind of like lurch at it and get rid of Harry Cobden, who's probably beating the ground with disgust afterwards. Obviously went into that race off a mark of 1.47. And unfortunately, the shot across the bows is that the handicapper has done the ultimate knife in the wound by sticking him up £7 for losing.
Yeah.
Which I must admit, I don't like that, and I'm sure Connections are absolutely livid. You know, you didn't win a race, albeit you would have done, but you still get penalised. It's one of those ones where you think, well, you know, give the horse a break. It's a bit hard to swallow, isn't it, really? Yeah, because jumping is a part of the game, isn't it? It's part of the... So who's to say he might have, you know, done something wrong on the running or the other one? We don't know, do we? So basically the handicapper's guessing along with everyone else. But I think he probably is right, in all fairness. But he's got great Cheltenham form as well, Southfield Theatre. And at least he's one of the few horses that comes here with quite a bit of upside, despite him being an 8-year-old. There are lots of other horses here who've been, you know, round the block. You know, they shut the front doors, the Sausalito Sunrises, the Ballinagores of this world. So you are probably looking for something with you know, fresher legs, and at least Southfield Theatre's fairly lightly raced for an 8-year-old.
Yeah. Southfield Theatre then in the 1:30 at Cheltenham. Let's move on to the 2:05 next. This is the Glenfarclas Cross Country Handicap Chase. It's over 3¾ miles over the cross country course. Good to see, actually, because we didn't get one at the open meeting.
No.
We've got the usual suspects in here as well. I always like these races. What do you make of the cross country? Some people don't seem to like them.
Absolutely love them, Mark. I think they're a welcome, refreshing change halfway through a middle of afternoon. It's almost like, you know, when you have a tasting menu and you have like 6 or 7 courses, and then just in the middle, you know, you get a nice little appetizer, a nice little palate cleanser.
Yeah, and a mousse bouche.
Mousse bouche, yeah, exactly. You don't want to be eating stodge all the way through, do you?
No.
You know, you want to mix it all up. So I think this one very much fits that criteria. For the weirdest analogy ever. And I think, you know, it's an extra dimension, isn't it? It's nice watching national horses run over a park, you know, parks course and some banks, and almost like the route of where national racing started. Don't forget, it started from the flags point to pointing and running from one steeple to another and, you know, jumping all over kinds of obstacles. So it's very, very much the heart of the game and at the heart of national racing. So I think it's a really great spectacle. And one man who loves it is Edna Bolger.
Edna
Bolger.
Yeah.
And he's got two representatives, the one of which we know all about, another one we don't so know so much about. And the one out of those two is Cantlow, who, although he's an 11-year-old, knows these boards pretty well around Cheltenham. He'll love the fast ground as well, because obviously they've had no rain and they can't irrigate on the course because of its expanse. He's going to take quite a bit of a beating, because he was really impressive the other day in Punchestown when he had his warm-up race 20 days ago. He beat the right horses in inverted commas. Ballinagore Bridge was in that race and he was too good for him. Ballyboker Bridge, I beg your pardon, who's been a festival regular. And I thought he did it with quite a bit in hand. And the fact, got onto the fact that was soft ground, and he wouldn't necessarily been massively in love with soft ground. He's always been a better ground horse. Every chance that Cantlow can give, you know, JP and Ender Bolger another winner in this race.
Yeah, won it a few times in the past. Josie's Orders last year, Guard Champetra back in 2011. So
yep,
you're trusting the right people there, aren't you, really, in the 2:05. And the final race we look at is the 2:40 at Cheltenham, and this one is the City Post Handicap Hurdle. It's a Class 2 event over almost 3 miles, betting out for this one as well. Temple Ross and Call to Order, 11-2 joint favourites, 13-2 for Good Measure. The Eagle Has Landed is 15-2. Herbert Park also 15-2. 8-1 for both Valhalla and Anteros, and it's 11-1 or bigger prices for the others. Who do you think wins that pretty good handicap hurdle?
Well, I'll probably stick with the form at the Paddy Power meeting in the shape of Anteros and Valhalla. They finished first and fourth, respectively, in that 3-mile handicap. And the form of the race has worked out really well. We've seen Sea Light, who finished third. He went on to win next time out at Clonmel. Unluckily, Corin Wood also represented that form last week at Chepstow and rather agonisingly, again, got picked off late on, but still ran very well. My circuit time for that race was the best circuit time of the three hurdles on that track, including the 2-mile juvenile race.
Right.
So for a 3-mile race to run the last circuit quicker than 2 milers, I always liked that angle. Mm. And Interos really did go through that race very easily. Obviously liked a strongly run race. I think this track will suit as well. You know, that long run from two out to the last will be where Paul Town will just be sort of creeping his way through on a horse that travels well on the bridle. And you'd certainly have to give him a major chance, along with Valhalla, who ran right up to his very best form. He also ran well at the previous meeting behind Midnight Shot. And the better ground, I think, will suit Valhalla. He just went a bit tacky the other day at Cheltenham. And his early season form was on a better surface, so the drying ground will suit him. So I'd probably split my stakes, Mark, with those two. Was it 7-1, 8-1, respectively? Valhalla
eight
and... Oh, both 8-1. Both 8-1 chances.
Yeah, could do worse than that, can't you? Nice. Good stuff, Andy. Quick summary before you go then. Let's confirm those selections for us. Just spin us through your four picks. Or your picks in the four races.
Yeah, sure. Tentatively, yes, I did for the Skeletons in the 12:55. The 1:30, I'd go with the unlucky Southfield Theatre. Hopefully he'll make amends there. In the 2:05, stick to the tried and trusted formula of Edna Bolger in the shape of Cantlow. And in the 2:40, I'll go with the course form of Valhalla and Anteros, my two against the field in that 3-mile handicap.
Top man. Been a pleasure to see you again, Andy. Good luck. And enjoy on Friday.
Will do. Thanks, Mark.
There you go. A thought to Andy Holding on Friday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 11:50 a.m. Gordon Brown, Ross Briley and Paddy Aspel, the team in the studio. It's Cheltenham, Doncaster and Bangor in the afternoon. And Newcastle and Dundalk will provide the action in the evening. So plenty to get stuck into. Real good day of racing. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.